Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Great. It's a rainy day. Someone said it's a good day to stay in bed today. But I'm glad that you are here and chose to get out of bed on a rainy day, rainy spring day we have here. And, you know, better than that, we get to talk about giving. You know, it's always one of those messages, those topics I think, you know, we like to avoid at times. It was strange to me this week as I was getting ready. I realized, well, the quiet time actually is going to be in a place in 2 Corinthians where Paul's also talking about giving, and the message series that will be closing today, 24/7 and 24, actually got delayed by a couple of weeks. So on the very last message in this series where Paul talks about the gifts of the church in Philippi and continuing to maintain our faithfulness to God, and whatever that looks like, whatever avenue, and it doesn't have to be about money. You know, it can be about our time, our resources, our gifting that God gives to us so that we might use those things. And then coincidentally enough, ended up on the same day we had for the quiet time in 2 Corinthians. So I hope you're doing well today, and if you're with us online, you don't know. My name is Michael. I'm the pastor here. If you're a visitor, then we want to get to know you, and please reach out to us. That's the only way that we can do that, if you're listening right now. So we'll be in Philippians. This has been the series we've been in really since the beginning of the year, and I love book studies. There's just something about them. As you go through books, especially in the New Testament as they're addressed to churches, it's really kind of hard to avoid difficult topics. And so as we finish out the book today, we'll be talking about God's work, but then I realized when I was working through this book, there's really been two separate messages on that. So this is God's work, part two, and this wonderful piece of God's work actually involves our input. It involves us being a part of the process, and so Philippians 4, verses 14 through 23 is where we'll be, and the phrase I want you to remember is accomplished through our faithfulness, accomplished through our faithfulness. You know, interestingly enough, in God's plan, he doesn't have to use us, but he chooses to. He allows us to be a part of the process. And now we can walk in faithfulness in that, or we can say, oh, you know what, God, I mean, I'll be a part of it a little bit. And then, you know, the interesting thing is that as much as we participate, that's the blessing that we receive back. And so we'll kind of talk about like the differences of interpretation of that. You might see someone who claims to be a pastor get up on TV and say, if you'll give us this much money, you know, we promise, you know, that will return to you tenfold. And so today I think we'll see what Paul's experience is in working with the church. He's going to help us better understand what that blessing better looks like. And I think it's a better one than money. So we'll dive into it. But before I do, I want to share just an account with you, a message, a story that as Christy and I went to a conference a few years ago, I got to hear a speaker. We're actually connected to him, Stephen Whitmer, through one of our family members, my brother-in-law and my sister, who now pastor in Wilson, New York, which is not far away from here. they worked under this guy, this pastor, and he came to a conference, small town pastors conference we got to go to. And his message is on Psalm 127, and his title was this: We Do Something, God Does Everything. And so we kind of have to come to it, I guess, today with this understanding that we participate in God's plan, but whatever we do, if we, you know, we mess up or we don't do it in something exactly the right way, we're not going to destroy God's entire plan for the universe. But yet I think sometimes we will miss out on those blessings that he gives us because we either choose not to participate or we miss out or we're not looking for how we can serve, how we can do things for God. So let's keep that in mind as we think about that, accomplishing God's work through our faithfulness. So starting in verse 14, it says, yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. So, you know, we looked at the passage last week on how Paul is communicating to the church that he's been through all these things, and now because of this and because of what the church has been through, we can also go about life, maybe not stressing out as much about the things that we will experience and have, going, I can do all things through Christ who's given me strength. And then he says this, yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And so, you know, the churches didn't have to. In fact, there were many churches that throughout Paul's missionary works, they chose not to, or they chose to be like, yeah, you know, it's gotten a little bit socially unacceptable, or, you know, this is maybe not what we signed up for, Paul, so we're going to, you know, we're going to stop helping you out. And interestingly enough, this was a church in Philippi that continued to support Paul's work wherever he was, whatever he was doing. And he says this about them: yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. So the word here is kaleka, and it just means honorable. So as Paul is branded a criminal, an insider of insurrections, someone who, you know, when he entered the scene, it wasn't going to be peaceful, probably. There was going to be some contention, so the Jewish leaders didn't like him because he was sharing the message of Christianity. And then as people were coming to faith in Christ, there was also this group that was rising up that was going like, you know, should we really continue to follow these things that we've known before? And their lives were being changed. And so Paul's message was relatively unpopular, but yet the church in Philippi stuck with him. And he says, yeah, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And so he's kind of continuing what he talked about last week, and that we grow and we support what's going on around us. So not only our local ministry, but regional, statewide, and then global, all around the world. In fact, as I think about this passage, you know, and about how far Paul was away while he was under house arrest with the church in Philippi, we'll actually get to sit down over a video with the Burroughs family tomorrow and talk to them about what God has been doing there, what he's been showing them, and what the plans are for the future. And kind of this is kind of just my thoughts and my hope that we would maybe be able to be a part of that in the future as well. So it's something I want us to pray about. We support a lot of missionary work financially, but I wonder what that would look like to actually put hands and feet to that. Paul certainly, he's going to address not only the monetary gifts in this passage today, but also the work of those who put their hands and feet, those who are carrying messages back and forth. They weren't like getting on video and talking to them. They were actually like, they had to send somebody with a letter and with a messenger bag and whatever gifts they were being brought to Paul to help him out. So we need to think about this. And then verse 15, it says, "And you Philippians yourselves noted in the beginning of the gospel when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." Chrysostom said this about verse 15. He was a church father. He said, "The principle by which they entered this partnership was give useful gifts and receive better spiritual gifts." You know, was Paul in a place as people were sending financial aid, they were sending, you know, people just to comfort and pray for and have conversations with, even legal counsel? Was Paul in a position to go, okay, yeah, all right, now I'm going to send you back everything you gave me and more? No, these churches were sacrificially giving to the work of the ministry, and he's like, and you guys were one of the only people that actually stuck with me. Can you imagine, as Paul many times throughout his journeys, he's got work on the side too, so he's making tents so that he can eat, you know, and do other essential things. But here he recognizes the church in Philippi, although the churches, almost all of them, had something they needed to work on, but this church in particular had a unique position, a place of support for what Paul was doing. And then in verse 16, it was really over and above. This was not just like, you know, yeah, okay, we'll give you, you know, a little bit or lip service. No, they really were concerned about what Paul needed. And so it says here in 16, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." And so as Paul's going from place to place, he's starting churches, he's putting in place leaders, he's got his own side business. So, you know, if whatever needs are being sent from the churches, which we realize here that Paul's in a couple of different places where nobody else is helping him, right? So there's support while he's in a place, but then he goes somewhere else, and then maybe that support drops off. Well, here we see that while Paul was traveling, the church in Philippi was somehow getting him whatever he needed. And can you imagine how that would work? Again, it's not like, okay, Paul, oh, you need that, Paul? All right, we're going to Venmo you that. All right, we're going to, yeah, just, you know, tell us what you need and we'll get it to you. Or, you know, we're going to send an overnight package. I don't know if you've ever got one of those. It's really cool. It's like, you know, they got the special labeling on it and stuff. And like, I feel really special. You know, they put that on a plane and then it just like, by the next day, you know, it got to my doorstep, right? That's just amazing to me. But it makes you feel good sometimes too, right? Well, people were going, you know, back and forth. There were helpers that were with Paul kind of carrying the word back and saying, hey, here's what we need to do. And church in Philippi is like, yes, whatever we need to do, we're going to help out with that. So just kind of amazing to think about. And then, you know, again, last week we talked about this, but there's really very few churches, I think, that operate in the way that we do, that, you know, our local church is similar to ours, similar in size, and in their budget. They give the percentage of their finances to missions. And so that's important. That's not something that, as we read this, you know, we can miss. And I always think back to, you know, how did our family end up here? And we have deeper roots than you would think. So if you didn't know, there's this picture that I always see. It's a brochure, actually, that Esther Johnson gave me a couple of years ago. And it amazed me because it was Christy's family about the stage of life where we're at right now. And at that stage of life, they were just starting out to do their missionary work through Word of Life, their local work that they do with young people. And that, I think it was Christy when she was about 3 or 4. And it was kind of cool to see, because I see my girls, you know, in her also. And they started that ministry over 30 years ago. And our church is still supporting them. So it just kind of amazes me, like the partnerships that we have in ministry. And Paul's talking about these partnerships that would have gone 10, 15, 20, 30 years. That there was one church in particular, the church in Philippi, that stuck with them. So I think that's something that can be an encouragement. There's going to be a challenge in this, but as we read this, you know, Paul's like, you know, he's not beating him up at the end of the letter. In fact, he's going like, hey, yeah, you guys have done really well in one area in particular, and supporting the work of the gospel. And so that's the first fill in the blank, faithful giving. Maybe I didn't say it at the beginning, I should have. So faithful giving. But that happens in a lot of different ways, right? Now, Paul's talking about specifically, I think, here financially. But then we're going to go into the second point, needs supplied. So he says here in 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So Paul has this desire for growth. You know, he's not just only concerned about, yeah, you guys have been meeting my needs, I really appreciate that, and you supported me wherever I was going. And then he kind of turns the corner here, and he's talking about these needs from a spiritual perspective. You know, what can Paul offer here? What can he return back to? What can he pray for the church in Philippi? Well, he says here, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He's like, it's great that you are supporting the work of the ministry, but then he says, it's not really that I'm seeking that, right? It's a need. So, you know, either way, he's like, I'll make some more tents, you know, but I'm thankful for the gift that is given. But he says, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. You know, we've probably heard that word before, fruit, when it comes to the New Testament. Jesus used it a lot. This word here, karpos, it means to gather fruit, reap the harvest, into life eternal. Used many places throughout the New Testament. The first use is in Matthew 3:8. It says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Matthew 7:16 says, you'll recognize them by their fruits. So when Paul used these words, he knew they were words that Jesus used before. And so he says, he's like, it's not really that I'm seeking the gift, although it's needed. He says, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So what happens as we give sacrificially or hilariously, as Craig mentioned? God is growing up something in us that allows us to maybe release our hands on things that just really control us, you know, all the time. They kind of go, well, you know, I need to have my obligations over here and I need to take care of this, right? Because we all live this life and experience it. There's needs that we have. But then to be able to give in a way that goes like, hey, I might be able to use that for something else, but I'm going to give it for the work of the Lord, and I enjoy that. And so what does the Lord do in that? Well, Paul says, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. And in verse 18, it says, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So, you know, the question here is, what is real sacrifice looks like? He says, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. You know, we always like to compare gifts too, right? And everybody's in different places in life. I get that, in seasons and retirement or young families, somewhere in between. And that looks differently in a number of different ways, right? From the amount of time that you have, the amount of finances that you have, to the ability maybe to use some of those gifts on a regular basis. And there's many stories we think of. And one in particular, you know, find in Mark chapter 12 about the woman who, you know, gave everything she had, right? And we talked about that too in the quiet time. It's not necessarily that God's going like, hey, everybody give everything you have. And then what do? We turn around and go, well, God, I don't have anywhere to sleep. I don't have anywhere to, you know, it's raining. I'd prefer not to sleep in the cold and the rain, you know, if that's at all possible. And so, you know, I love what Greg said here because, yeah, sometimes we read that story and we're going like, well, we're not awesome Christians unless that's what we're doing. But that's not necessarily what God's calling us to do. And so we have to consider like what's the sacrifice for us, or what is God calling us to do in that moment? And sometimes, you know, it seems like, oh, well, it's more painful to give that right now, or we might be able to use that somewhere else. Or, you know what, Lord, I mean, my time is, you know, really important to me, and there's some other things I'd like to be doing. Do I, you know, don't want to be there on Wednesday night with little kids? You know, do I want to be helping out with the youth? Don't want to be going on that, you know, trip. I mean, there's some other things I could be doing. What about my gifts, my talents? I mean, you know, yeah, those, I mean, I know you've given me that gift of administration or, and maybe some sort of other ability to speak or to sing. I mean, why should I be using those things for you, God? I mean, the answer is always yes, right? So whatever our capabilities, whatever our time, whatever our gifting, whatever our finances, and yeah, this is one of the things that Paul's talking about, but he's also talking about this gift that returns to us. What the spiritual growth that takes place when we say, okay, God, whatever that is, whatever it is you want me to do, I will do that. And so he says here, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. I mean, I don't know what you want in your life, but I would love, you know, for whatever I give on a regular basis to the Lord. Again, in all those categories, like I want that to be pleasing, you know, and acceptable to the Lord. I don't want it to just be lip service. I don't want it to just be like, well, God, I gave 10%. So, you know, we're good, right? I mean, that should make you happy. You know, we always kind of think of those things like if I check off the box, then that will please the Lord. But here he says it's a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And it looks different for everybody, right? So those are the things like we have to personally work through and struggle with and go, God, how do you want me to do that? might not know, but the history of the church is filled with generous people. I like thinking about those things and just kind of going like, man, God, how could somebody do that? I mean, like, that's amazing, you know? The actual house that the church owns now is a testimony to that. Many, many years ago, there was a lady who built a house across the street. And what did she do with it? She said, okay, this is going to be like my retirement house, but when I'm gone, I want to give it to the church, and it will forever be the parsonage for the pastor and his family. And I'm like, that kind of blows me away, you know? Prime real estate, right? You know, you're driving down 98, and I'm just like, that's awesome. That's a part of the church's history. And so we, you know, we sometimes think like, this is like the limit of what, you know, I'm going to build a house. I'm going to give it to the church when I'm gone. It just kind of blows my mind again. So what did it look like for us, though? You know, maybe it's not everything that I have, like I'm just going to give it to the church or the work of the Lord once I'm gone. But what can we do right now? Because Paul's speaking directly to this return gifting, this spiritual blessing, the growth in a person's life, and we're able to say, hey, you know what, the things that I hold on to so tightly all the time, they're not so important. In fact, whatever God wants to do with those things, then I'm willing to do that. And then in 19, it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So supplying our needs, and it's not really always our wants. In fact, there's many things that we want, I think, that God gives us, and we just sort of like blow past them, you know, all the time. It's like, hey, we got to go have ice cream today with our family. God, thank you, you know, for that gift. was it a need? No. Was it fun? Yeah. And God's still good in all those things. So when he says here, and my God will supply every need of yours. See, this is where I think it kind of gets strange sometimes. People read this text, or they just go like, you know, whatever God wants, you give that to him, and then he'll give you all your wants and dreams and desires. And that's not what the text says, right? What Paul says here, and my God will supply every need. When you look at it in the Greek, it's the word kria, means food, water, shelter, clothing. Pretty basic, right? I mean, from our standards, like, you know, the things that we think that we need. I love thinking about especially like how people like lived in the olden days. we're trying to talk to our, you know, kids about that too. It's like, you know, there weren't always toilets inside. Did you know that? There weren't always, like, you know, indoor plumbing, fairly new thing. You know, there were like houses outside you had to go to. I can't even imagine, like, in the winters here. Can you imagine 100 years ago? It's like, What do people do? Yeah, we complain about such minor things, and especially when those like really minor helpful things break, we're like, oh man, dishwasher broke. Now I got to wash the dishes. Oh my goodness, you know, it's the end of the world, right? you know, think about it, right? So he says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Needs. Again, it's used all throughout the New Testament. Matthew 6:8 says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." Isn't that interesting? We don't even have to go, "Hey, God, I mean, you need this, right? Shelter, clothing, food, right?" Acts 4:35 says, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. You know, the awesome thing about the New Testament church and really the explosion of that church at the beginning of the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came on everybody, everybody was like, oh, wow, like we see things a little clearly now. Like, what are things, you know, we actually need? Because there was this huge array of people who belonged to Christianity when it first entered on the scene in the New Testament. And when people were part of that church, that everybody had the Spirit as they were being spoken to equally, people who live lavish lifestyles, they were like, oh, man, yikes. Maybe there's some stuff I don't need so that somebody else can have something that they need who's living in poverty. But that's not how the religious system worked up until that point. Like, you were part of, like, the elite religious setting, whatever that was, for the most part, and you were influential if you had money, if you had resources. So, and even if that person was very generous to the church, but they were only, like, just skimming off the top. Like, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Everybody's like, oh, that's so amazing. And the poor person who puts in everything they have, they're like, wow, that was not helpful. Right? But God's going, like, who gave the greater sacrifice? Who did more? It kind of depends on where you're coming from. And at the end of the book, Acts, chapter 28:10, it says, "They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed." So that's Paul again. He's going, this is a part of the journey. They were given to people as they had need, and then as Paul's continuing to do his work, they're like, whatever they need, they gave it to us. They supported us. And I hope we'd be the same. And again, I know we think this is all about tithing, but it's not, right? When Christy and I first got married, you know, you always have to have that conversation. You're like, so what are we going to do? I mean, you know, because then it's not just you, right? You're not just like, I'm making these own decisions for myself. And you get married, you have to have those tough conversations. Like how, I mean, how faithful, I mean, literally how down to the percentage, how faithful are we going to be to the Lord? And you got to answer that question. When you do, you're like, well, I'm accountable to somebody else too. And so ever since that moment, we've just always said, like, look, here's what we're going to give. We're going to give more than that if we can at times. There's going to be seasons that are a little bit thinner, and there's going to be seasons where we have a little bit more of an abundance. And so in the midst of all that, we've just prayed like consistently and God, okay, what do you want us to do now? And I think that's all that God's asking of us, right? As we read this text, like the church in Philippi had the ability, and they continue to have the ability, and as they leaned into the Lord, they continue to go, yeah, keep supporting Paul. Yeah, keep supporting Paul, whatever he's doing. Here's the last fill in the blank. God wins. That's the good news for everybody, right? So we talked about faithful giving, the needs being supplied. I mean, really asking ourselves that question, like, what is an actual need, right? At times, do we have things more than what we need? Yeah, I do too, right? I think I'm thankful for those things, but I'm going like, God, at the end of the day, if I didn't have all this stuff, would I be okay? Yeah, because God supplies our needs, especially as we're faithful to him. So the last fill in the blank, God wins. God gets the glory always. Paul knew this, and he wants to recognize this as he closes the letter. Do things always go the way we think they're going to go? No. Paul's able to say this. He says in verse 20, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So after all this, Paul is able to make this statement, which is always true. no matter what else happens, God's going to get the glory. And I'm sure there's some people in the church in Philippi that weren't a part of that blessing. Can you imagine, I mean, being a part of a church that faithfully supported the work of what people were doing locally, regionally, globally? And then in the midst of all that, you were like, yeah, but I don't really feel like that's where I want to help out right now. I'm not going to be a part of that. Do you think they missed out on that blessing? And as Paul's right, can you imagine that, that letter being read back to the church? And the messenger's like, hey, we got word from Paul. Here's what he said. And he's like, man, church in Philippi, you guys, you supported me. You did such an amazing job. Can you imagine not being a part of that? Like sitting there in the pews or whatever they had. And they were going like, man, I really missed out on what I could have done. Did God still accomplish his work? Did he still accomplish his purposes through Paul? Yeah, he did. But when Paul writes back to them, he's like, I'm not even really concerned about the gift itself. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about the spiritual return. And so for Paul, he's like, it's not even about that. It's not even about the finances. Because what's going to happen in the end? God's going to get the glory no matter what, right? So the question is, are we going to participate in that? Are we going to be a part of the equation? You know, we talk with our girls about that. We reiterated that this morning. Like, what, you know, we've given you some money lately. What are you going to do with that? Oh, here's some things I can think of. I got a list, right? Like, when are we going to go to the store, you know, and get some of these things? And then we just said, like, you know what? That's great, you know, and that's a wonderful blessing that we can have, that we can give something to you. You can go get something. But what are you going to give back to the Lord? Like, we've got to always be reminding ourselves and kind of growing up in that, and reminding our kids too, and even ourselves at times, right? And especially, I don't know, it seems like in seasons like this too, like everything seems to just get tighter and tighter, and we go, but I don't know if I can do that. So will we participate in the blessing? We'll be like, you know, Lord, you get the glory, and you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the win, the celebration. In verse 21, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me, greet you. So God wins because we have community, right? You know, we do this together. I think when we experience this in community, sacrificially giving, the demonstrating and the pouring out of our gifts, whether or not people see it or not, right? Because the check, you know, who sees that, right? I think I don't even see those, by the way. So people are like, he's talking to me. I don't know. I just don't. I've just chosen for a long time not to do that. But some of the guys do, and I can tell you, like, there's no judgment, right? But at the end of the day, like, that's really between us and the Lord. And so, but Paul's able to say, hey, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me, greet you. It amazes me, without the phone technology, without the satellites, without like the all the things that we have right now, how connected the church was back then. Paul's like, and the brothers, you know them. They're with me. They greet you. Thanks for sending them. There's guys you know who have been back and forth. There's such this interconnectivity, and it was in such a large region in the world as well. It wasn't like it was a small arena. They didn't have cars. They didn't have planes. They didn't have phones, but yet they were participating in God's plan together. God gets the glory, and then we're able to have this amazing community together. And I love this. He wraps up the letter, and it makes some interesting comments. He says in verse 22, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. So God wins because he overcomes the greatest powers in the world. You ever woke and you get up one day, and you're just like, why is this happening? I was looking this week at things that were going on in the Middle East, and it's like Iran, Israel, this is not good. Like the U.S., we're going to help out, right? We're going to stop you. You know, there's been kind of some back and forth, you know, language, but Iran's like, we're going to destroy you, Israel. That's not a light-handed thing, right? And so even I think it started last night, right? All the bombardment, things that have been worse than even the last couple of months. And so, you know, it just reminds me, like, we're all a part of this together. We need to be praying, especially for that area and what's going on. And I think it's sometimes, too, we think, like, man, this is dark. This is a dark day. There's some things going on that, like, I haven't seen, you know, in a long time, or nobody's seen. And we need to remind ourselves, God's still working, right, in all this. He lets us take just this little part of it. It's like, man, at the end of this, we're going to look back and be like, man, I can't believe I got to be a part of what God was doing. And so he's able to say, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Just thought you would want to know, church in Philippi, all the work you've been doing, all the things you've been helping with, all the support. Guess what? I mean, I'm under house arrest, but good news. People in the highest level of the land, people in that household, yeah, they know Jesus. Just wanted you to know. Isn't that amazing? It's like Paul, who has gone through all this persecution, all this difficulty, he recognizes the sacrifice that the church has made, and he's like, I know this is going to turn out for a blessing for you, a spiritual blessing. You're growing in your faith. You imagine how much that lifted up the church? I mean, that would have been enough blessing right there. You know, Paul's been in Rome under house arrest, and he says, all the brothers greet you, all the ones you know, and there's some more. Yeah, they're part of Caesar's house. They know Jesus too. So, while we may think at times, it's like, man, just my little part of this doesn't seem like much. Doesn't seem like my contribution matters. And again, it's not about just the finances, right? It's about whether you're using what God has given you as a platform for what he's going to use for his glory, right? And we just get to turn and be like, man, I just had a small part in that. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of it, for you receiving the glory. And he says in verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So we have access to this grace that while in our earthly circumstances can change from time to time. But that's the good news. This grace, this charis, it means of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ. What does he do for us? Well, he strengthens us. He increases our faith. Well, through our faithfulness to him. We're in 2 Corinthians. We'll read this passage on Thursday, but I want to read it, just an excerpt from it. I'm always amazed at like what we're doing on Sundays, how much it coincides with what we're reading, and I love that we're doing that together. If you're not, I hope that you do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This was Paul's life. This was his ministry. And this is what he did as he served the church in Philippi from a long distance. He's able to encourage them. And he's saying, like, look at what God has done through you. Through your singular support, right? When other churches, you know, said, oh, it's not that important to us. Paul, I'm sure he'll be fine. He's got his tent-making business. But the church stays faithful. And Paul is able to say, hey, in all these things, in all these persecutions, what takes place? Paul was weak, right? He was under house arrest. What could Paul do? Well, God used him greatly, right? And he didn't just do it alone. He had a great support base. So I'll leave you with this. This is something I think about, and this kind of pushes us into our series that we'll start next week, Last Words. I think about this a lot, because over the years, there's a lot of opportunity I get just to, you know, be with people in their last moments, and there's a lot of conversations I have that are just very eye-opening, you know? And it's hard for us to think this way too, because until there's something like really life-threatening going on, sometimes we just don't see life in the right perspective. So one of the things I've heard in a recurring way in those situations, maybe it's at a hospital or someone who's on hospice, and just talking with them back and forth, and a lot of times it turns into a conversation where someone's saying, well, you know, Pastor, I just wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that, or I wish I had done more. And, man, I don't want us to be, you know, people who, you know, come to this place every Sunday and then we leave and it's like there's just nothing that changes, right? Or there's nothing that we think about what we can do, how we can live sacrificially, or how we can invest in what God's doing. And we've got to think that even if it's just like, just in our season of life, even if it's just something small, it seems insignificant to us, like God's going to use that still for his glory. And I would rather that we would go, hey, God, whatever it is, even if we like think it's small, like if you tell me, I will do that. Why would we want to be in those last moments and go like, God, there's so many things that you've said to me that maybe I didn't listen to. And I'm right there with you too. There's days I'm just like, I don't have time, God. I just don't, you know. He's like, yeah, well, get over it. Do it anyway, right? It's about obedience, right? It's about faithfulness. So, you know, my hope for us is that we would be people who, as we consider what God's done, what he's been doing throughout history, we wouldn't look at these, like, we wouldn't look at these biblical characters, we wouldn't look at these churches and go, like, that was good for them. Like, I'm really glad God did that back then. But he's still doing that right now. And he's been doing that through the, he's been doing that through this church for over 200 years. Why would we still be here if God didn't have something else for us to do? That's what I always remind people of too. Even when it seems like, you know, you're at that point, you're like, man, there's so many regrets. There's so many things I missed out on. Maybe that doesn't have to be our perspective. Maybe as we move into the series titled Last Words, we can think more on that. Like what Paul's ministry, the church's ministry, what God was doing then, let's carry it on to what he's still doing now. And then maybe those words would be words of, man, God, look what you did. Thank you that I got to be a part of the process. And, you know, we won't be perfect, but at least we might be able to say, God, man, I did my best, right? I was as faithful as I could be. I might have missed out on a few things, but man, I really, what blessing I got out of doing work for you, about being part of your work here on earth, right? Well, it comes with, God's work comes with being accomplished through our faithfulness, right? He's going to do what he's going to do, but man, my hope would be that we would want to participate in that, whatever it looks like. I hope that as we think that way, we would think, man, I know I'm going to receive that blessing back, right? May not be dollars in the bank, right? But it'll be God working on our hearts and our minds and growing us to be more like him, okay? I'll close with prayer, and then we'll be dismissed, okay? Father, we thank you for the time that we've had in this series, thinking about, God, what you're doing in the church in Philippi. And as you know, Paul closes this message, he really makes us think about a lot of things. God, what we're doing right now, and God, even those things that you bring to our hearts and our minds right now that we're like, God, we really should do that, but we've made excuses. We've made, you know, our other commitments a reason why we don't exercise our gifts, why we don't give to the church financially. God, why we don't look for areas where we can serve maybe our neighbor. God, I pray that you'd help us to just see the big picture. God, we know you're going to accomplish your work no matter what. I just pray that whatever it is that you have for us right now in this season, we would even ask. Sometimes we know that's a scary prayer. God, what do you want me to do right now? Maybe we don't want to hear the answer, but I pray that you would, God, help us. Help us as we say we want to be faithful to walk in whatever that is, in faithful giving. God, we know you're going to take care of our needs. We thank you for that. Thank you for helping us to see what those actually are. God, we know in the end you win no matter what. You're going to get the glory. Help us to have this perspective that no matter what it is, whether we think it might be insignificant, the thing you're calling us to do, I pray that we would just walk in that. And God, that we'd be able to see the fruits of that, of the work that you've given us to do, that we get to do right alongside you. And thankful that we can celebrate that in the years to come. And it's your name we pray. Amen.